little man. Don't let them tell you that they have the plan.
Welcome to Thinking Clearly. This is a show about critical thinking and related topics, and my name is Bob Frelick, along with the other host of this show, Julia Minton. Hey, Julia.
Hi. Welcome, Bob.
It's always a trip to do broadcasting during this lockdown of COVID-19, but it's always a pleasure to do this show with you, Julia.
Absolutely, Bob.
Let's start, as we usually do, by giving folks an idea of how they can get in touch with us and how they can pop up our previously archived podcast versions of Thinking Clearly.
Yeah, well, as I like to say, Bob and I are real people, and we like hearing from you, our listeners. You can find us on Facebook, Thinking Clearly Radio. That is our Facebook page where we put up promos as well as links to our completed shows with notes. And one of my favorite formats is the podcast. We are podcasting on the internet. What I suggest you do is if you have a podcast app, go ahead, open it up and, search for a new podcast or ad feed. It'll say something like that. And just punch in Thinking Clearly and we should pop right up. And then you subscribe to our podcast.
Yeah, and the podcast has the additional virtue of if you get tired of listening to us, you can take a break, turn us off, turn us back on, start where you left off. You can download us and keep us forever if you want.
Or maybe if you can't get enough of us, you can go to thinkingclearly.libsyn.com and listen to the entire Thinking Clearly archive starting at the very beginning.
I think we got the best of both worlds. We're airing live and we're podcasting. Well, let's get started. We've got a lot to do in this episode, and I'm going to start out with a quote that'll kind of lead us into the topic for this evening. And it goes like this, quote, "The point of modern propaganda isn't only to misinform or push an agenda. It is to exhaust your critical thinking, to annihilate truth." Somewhat dramatic quote from Garry Kasparov. He's a Russian chess grandmaster, former world chess champion, a writer, and political activist, Garry Kasparov. So what topic have we framed for this episode of Thinking Clearly, Julia?
Well, we are continuing our theme of vetting claims and arguments.
Yeah, questing the truth, right? And a little bit of background about that. In the September episode of Thinking Clearly, we described a basic process for examining the authenticity and probable truth value of information. And this process can be used, and we're hoping you will use it and become familiar with it and then kind of make it your own by adjusting it in any way you see fit. But it's a way to vet information, to come up with the idea of how authentic that information is and to decide what you want to do with the information that comes into our feeds. So in this episode, we're going to demonstrate how to use that process, applying it to a current internet political meme. And remember vetting.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, by the way, we've posted this on our Facebook page in a couple locations. You can actually click on it and download it as a JPEG or a GIF. I can't remember which.
The vetting process, the diagram.
The diagram. Sort of, yeah. It's one page. Try to fit it on one page and condense it.
So you can play along at home.
Yeah. And the good thing is that you can, if you get familiar with this, we're going to demonstrate it tonight on a real life internet, something that you'll find on the internet or could find if you wanted to. It's a step-by-step process.
Boy, the things you can find on the internet.
You could find anything and everything and the opposite of that. So I'm going to start out here. Remember, I just want to remind you that this is a show about process. So we're going to use a topic as an example, and that's all it is it's meant to show you concretely with a specific example. But we're not talking about that issue that we're going to describe or use this vetting process as a demonstration. So the topic is the process of vetting information. Okay, so let's do a little review, real quick review of what the overall process is in this vetting process. It's really a three-step process, right? The first step is calling for you to think about your connection with the information.
You mean I just don't react and get angry?
don't react and get angry. And that's the whole idea of this.
This is going to be hard.
It is going to be hard. And we'll go over the categories that we want you to do this introspection, look into your own self about. And ask that when you do this and you try this at home, and please do this at home, that you actually write down a sentence or two. And we went through this vetting process before we did the actual search and the rest of the vetting process. We went through this introspection, and we're going to demonstrate how we did that.
Yeah, so we start with introspection. So we're presented with a claim or argument, and then we kind of sit and think about it. We sit with it.
And we ask ourselves some questions about it when we do that. We ask what our motivation is. Why do we want to get into this issue? You need to have a reason, otherwise you're not going to take the time and work that it takes to actually vet that information. Also, the second part of that introspection process is intuition and biases. What are your biases going in? We all have biases going in. There's no one who is completely unbiased. And so it's good to tap into what those biases are before you actually start into the vetting process. A sentence or two will suffice on that. And then your goals. What are your goals in doing this? You know, what do you hope to do with the information, for example, might be a goal. Are you going to pass it along if you find out that some claims are supported? So that's the first part. What's the second part?
Yeah, the second part is evaluating the source, something we've talked about in a number of shows. You know, where did this information come from? Is it of, well, as people would say, real or fake origin? Is there an original source? Is it... Because a lot of the times when we get information, it may not be where it started. It may just be somebody repeating something that they heard somewhere else. So where is that primary source? And also in evaluating a source, you know, is there an expertise behind it? Is there a reason to believe that the person knows what they're talking about?
Yeah. So that's the second part. And then we start getting into the actual content of the issue itself. So this first part is preliminary. And now we're starting to evaluate the content. And in doing that, the first thing we do is to identify claims. What is being said is true or not true, or that you should do or shouldn't do, what's good and bad. The claims are pretty easy to spot. They're simple declarative sentences, usually saying what's true or what's not true. And then we're going to see if there's an argument. After we identify the claims, of course, we're going to see if there's evidence to support those claims. And then thirdly, we're going to see if there is a logical argument that connects that evidence to some sort of a conclusion to their claim.
Because as we've talked about before, you can have true claims and a bad argument.
Right.
Or you can have false claims and a good argument.
Yeah.
And those are, you know, both a part of the equation in assessing what is being presented.
Yeah. And sometimes people will present something as evidence, but when you really think about it, it doesn't logically connect to any kind of a conclusion that they're making a claim of. And that's probably what we may find tonight in some of the claims. Let's go ahead and get started.
Well, that's a lot of setup.
Yeah,
I'm ready to get angry.
I'm going to set it up even more than that. Let me tell you first what the issue is. Someone made a claim to me in a discussion that piqued my interest because I'd never heard it before. And I'm going to tell you what I found first before I tell you directly what that claim is. And I'm going to tell you, after I do that, why I did it that way. The order of business is I didn't come to my conclusion first. In reality, I came in, sure, I had some biases, but then I began going through the rest of the vetting process and eventually came to an idea of whether that claim was supported or not. That's the way I did it in real life. But the way I'm going to present it to you is like a spoiler alert. I'm going to put the claim in a way that tells you what I actually found. And then I'm going to tell you why I'm doing it this way.
You're introducing your own bias from the beginning.
No, I'm introducing what I found after I actually went through the vetting process.
That is a difference.
It is a big difference.
That's a big difference.
Okay. But what I found is there is no support for the claim, and the claim being that the organization and movement Black Lives Matters aims to destroy the nuclear family. So the reason I'm saying I found no support for that is because there's a whole psychological issue called priming.
Like priming a pump.
It's like priming a pump. And when people hear a claim, if it's stated like it's true, that's what they remember. Even if they're presented with evidence later on, and then you let some time pass after that, they'll remember the way it was stated first.
So it's kind of like an uphill battle.
It's an uphill battle. So I wanted to be careful not to prime you. And headlines do this all the time. They might ask the questions, does the organization Black Life Matter aim to destroy the nuclear family? And that question primes you to think that, well, there must be evidence that it does. Mm-hmm. And then when you go and read behind the headlines, you find out, no, there's no evidence, but somebody claimed there was evidence. But what you'll remember after a while passes is you'll remember the original headline.
Yeah, because a headline like that, it gets your heart beating. You're like, what? And then you read the article and it's so much less interesting.
But I want to assure you, I didn't come to my conclusion first. And I did examine my motivation. And let me talk about this first part, this introspection that I did.
So we're going to start the vetting process now.
We're going to start the vetting process by examining our motivations. And my motivation, first of all, I didn't hear this before. And I didn't know if it was real clickbait, which was what I call real fake news. Real fake news means it's completely made up. There's no support. No, they're not even trying to get any evidence for it. And it's not just an interpretation of something, but it's completely bogus, completely made up. So I wanted to find out, since I'd never heard this, if it was just this clickbait fake news, or if it was a real claim that there was evidence for it. And I respect and value my relationship with the person saying this. So I was really interested in evaluating the claim and further discussing the issue with him. How about you?
Oh, okay. So for introspection, for me, it was really stepping back and acknowledging the visceral reaction I have when I hear a claim like that. And almost calming myself. I see my brain go in a dozen different directions, wanting to engage, you know, with this. And so really just kind of taking a moment and kind of, you know, okay, this is, people believe this, this is being said. Why would, you know, kind of slowing it down, I think is, was kind of my introspection.
Had you heard of that claim before?
Yeah, along with other absurd things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're getting to biases now. Okay, so we'll move now since Julie has told her what her biases were going in. To intuitions and biases, I kind of lump those together. Intuitions are like our quick hit about something. What do we think? What does our intuition tell us? And oftentimes we have biases that are involved in that intuitive thinking. Not always. Intuitive thinking gets us a long way in a lot of situations, but sometimes it sets us on the wrong path, gives us the wrong answer, wrong decision, wrong ideas about something. And that's what we mean by biases. So my bias was going in that although we've made a lot of progress in the last 50 years to end racism, that it still exists in America. The person I was talking to wasn't so sure that there was systemic racism in the United States, but I'm pretty confident that there is, and it still exists. So I, in general, didn't know a lot about the Black Lives Matter movement, but I tended to believe that it was working towards creating a more inclusive, egalitarian society. And the other thing was, it just seemed to me that Black Lives Matter had a lot of bigger issues than trying to destroy the nuclear family. So it seemed sort of out of mission, you know, to me. So those were my biases going in. But I was sincerely interested in what the information was. And I do want to say, I'm not going to get into what the issue is, but the same person that I was talking to gave me a meme that probably came from the left, directed against our president. And I was also biased that that meme was not true.
There's a lot of assumptions
and
there.
I found out that it wasn't what I thought it was, that the actual claim was probably true in this case that the person was making. So I'm open to vetting information from the left or the right. In fact, I'm harder usually on the left because I share values with people in the left. And I expect them to be more truthful and that their arguments alone should be convincing. You know, they don't need to load them up, exaggerate them.
I want to fast forward to source because these days it's not always clear where these memes are being generated.
Well, that's true. And we'll get there.
But that's another thing.
We'll get there. We're on our way. Okay. So that's my intuition and biases. And do you want to say anything else about your biases?
Sure. Well, I mean, my bias is just straight out. I am a BLM supporter. I think it's a very important movement in our country. And so my initial intuition and bias is that this is another red herring to detract from the issue at hand, which is Black people in America.
Okay. And goals. That's the third introspection that we're doing. And remember, all you have to do is do some thinking about this, write a sentence or two about it, but be sure and you do that before you actually look into the issue. So I wanted to find out more about this. I wanted to see if it held up to critical thinking. And I honestly wanted to discuss whatever results I found with the person that I communicated this to because I respect the relationship with that person. So just a little about my initial search. I did a Google search. You can use various different search engines, but I like Google, and I Googled Black Lives Matter aims to destroy nuclear family, because this is pretty much word for word the claim from this person. And I got 86,600,000 results. The first three of those results, I just looked at to start with who the first top three hits were. The first one was PolitiFact, which is a fact-checking organization that I have respect for. And the second two I'd never heard of before. One was the Foundation for Economic Education, and the third one was Independent Women's Forum. So that was a starting point. Did you want to say anything about what you found or anything?
No, just that you can find all kinds of things on the internet.
Did you use Google when you searched for this?
I'm using DuckDuckGo.
Good for you. It's always great. I did look at DuckDuckGo to see if I got different top hits, first page hits, and a lot of them were the same. So what I did then is to decide whether this was real information or disinformation. And the conclusion that I came to, because it had so many hits, so it was so thoroughly discussed from such a range of sources, from the PolitiFact to New York Times to those on the right, like the Heritage Foundation and Glenn Beck on his Blaze TV. So there were a lot of different sources from a lot of different groups talking about this claim. So from that, I concluded that it wasn't really my definition of fake news, meaning that there were some purported evidence for this and that it wasn't just something that somebody made up. But that's important to do. Right at the start, is it real fake news? Is it just so bogus that nobody else will touch that claim and they know it's fake news and then you repost it somewhere and get embarrassed because somebody sends you a note back saying, you know, I looked that up on Snopes or PolitiFact or whatever. It's a well-known fake news myth that's gone around the internet twice already. And that's really embarrassing. So the first thing, is it fake news or is it really something that people are discussing and have their own point of view or own evidence for?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know that the line delineating fake news from real news is quite so clear to me personally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would also comment, you know, you had said something about, is it something that somebody just made up? Well, a lot of the times people make things up based on very minute facts in order to give them more credence, mm-hmm. you know? So sometimes people do make things up that have a hint of truth.
Yeah, I know what you mean. They'll do a spin off of something that is true. It may be out of context. It may be something that happened years and years ago, and they're purporting that it happened just again. Yeah, there's a blend of things that is misinformation. It's misinformation if the people have the intent to deceive. I mean, it's disinformation if people have the intent to deceive. It's misinformation if it's not true. But they didn't really know it wasn't true. They just sent it along, you know, reposted it or said it, but didn't properly vet the information. So we're trying to help you with that.
To that extent, it's just to belabor this point a little bit more, the source could be disinformation. Someone could have the intent of deceiving, but then when other people kind of buy into it and pass it along, they're not necessarily they don't realize they're participating in disinformation. Their intent isn't to deceive. They simply took the hook of somebody else's disinformation.
And that's misinformation.
Correct.
Right. Okay. So we're looking at the source now. First thing I wanted to determine, is it an original source? Well, since I got 86 million different hits, all of those couldn't be original. So where did it originate? Sometimes you can find that out and sometimes you can't. It's kind of difficult. But what I did is I used and that's one of the reasons I like Google. I don't know if DuckDuckGo does that or not, but on Google, you can go to the tools menu there on Google, the Google search, and you click on tools, and that brings down another menu, which you're able to configure as to the time that you want to do the search, the time span. So you can search for everything after a certain date or anything between this date and this other date. So it's a way of being able to kind of go back and track where these things first started. Mm-hmm. It's not always completely foolproof, but it's really helpful to do that. And interesting to do that too, because you can kind of track the spread of, it may have evolved from one source and there was nobody but this one source talking about it, and all of a sudden it's picked up by a bunch of other different sources. And you can do this very easily by using that configurable time menu on Google. Now, what I found was that I could only find that claim on Reddit. There's another of my biases.
Well, first of all, we've brought up Reddit before, but what is Reddit?
Okay.
Reddit is a forum. Me. It's just a forum where anybody and their mother with an internet connection can post just about anything.
And they can discuss anything, including their mother.
So in a sense, I mean, it's a source. It's where, you know, it originated from. But then you also have to dig a little deeper. Who posted that on Reddit and where?
Yeah. Well, that's hard. That's the hard part. Reddit was the only place that I could see any earlier hits before September 1st, 2016. And then another post popped up that wasn't from Reddit with the title, Black Lives Matter, We Will Destroy Your Nuclear Family. This was written by Eshelman, Bob Eshelman, and it appeared on a website called Charisma News, which I'd never heard of.
So imagine that.
So I looked that up using mediabiasfactcheck.com, one of my favorite sites that rates different news sources, and they don't have them all, but they did have Charisma News on there to get some information about what their rating was. So Charisma News was not a completely bogus conspiracy theory site. It was associated with a Christian webpage. On this media bias fact check site, it gave it a sort of a second from the bottom in terms of accuracy of information, and it listed some kind of pretty out there claims that were easily disputed.
Well, and again, I would kind of say that I don't think my personal line delineating completely bogus websites. To me, that's not a sharp line, you know? So just throwing that out there.
Yeah, no. I didn't say it was a completely bogus website.
It was not.
I said that the mediafactcheck.com, they listed some claims that were made on that website that were very easily disputed and kind of way out there. But no, I don't think it's a completely bogus website at all. But it gives me a little clue as to what this website is about.
So we have it from Reddit migrating out to a 90th percentile news source.
Yeah, a 10th percentile or 90, you know.
Whichever way you're measuring.
Not very
reliable news.
Not very reliable.
And Christian, so I would assume that they are also pro-nuclear family.
Definitely, and that's really what the slant of their whole gripe with Black Lives Matter was. But to their credit, that website actually gave the whole quote and not just a part of the quote. So they gave
the
whole
quote.
Basically then, identifying the claim is the next step in the vetting process. So the claim is that Black Lives Matter aimed to destroy the nuclear family or disrupt the nuclear family. But I want to mention this now that I looked at a number of different sites, and what I found was that that claim about destroying the family became intertwined with another claim about Black Lives Matter, which then took off
going deeper down this rabbit hole.
A whole bunch of different sources. And I want to say again, as to not prime you, that I found no support for this second claim. But those are the two claims we're talking about. This, the second claim was that in addition to the, destroying the nuclear family, Black Lives Matter larger goal was to transform America into a Marxist ideological framework. So that first site, they were concerned about destroying the family, but they didn't have the Marxist claim, but claims after that incorporated the Marxist claim. So then, of course, I got interested in where the Marxist claim came from. So let's now dig in a little bit to where these claims came from and the evidence actually for the claims. So the claim about Black Lives Matter aims to destroy the nuclear family, several of the sites reported a quote that they said was from Black Lives Matter. And the quote goes like this: "We are committed to disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, and especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable." So the site said, this is what the Black Lives Matter website used to say, and that that claim had been taken down, or that statement had been taken down.
I do want to say one thing I like about this is we often talk about needing to define your terms. Mm-hmm. And nuclear family is one of those very loaded things. In that statement you just read, it gets into a little bit more detail about what, quote unquote, destroying the nuclear family looks like.
That actual idea was not discussed on very many of the websites. What the nuances are. And in fact, most of the websites just quoted the first part of this statement. They just gave the quote, "We are committed to disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure." That's all.
Oh, yeah.
End quote.
Oh, boy.
So they didn't give it. So most of the websites that actually gave this claim and purported to have say that there was evidence for it took it out of context. So, well, the first thing I had to do is, being a skeptic and a good information vetter, or trying to be better at that, is that I wanted to find out, well, did they just make up this claim? Did this claim originate as fake news? Somebody made it up and then it was picked up by a bunch of different places? Or did it indeed say that on some version of Black Lives Matter webpage? So I used the Wayback Machine.
That's a fun one.
And what we're trying to do is to give you some resources. And by the way, these resources will be posted on our Facebook page so that you'll have links to them.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, Wayback Machine basically takes snapshots of web pages throughout time. So you can, say, go to kma.org and look at what the website looked like in 2001. It's kind of fun.
Right. And so you can use it to check things that have been removed from websites, or websites that have been entirely removed. So if you put something on your website, be aware it lives forever on the Wayback Machine. You can find that at archive.org, the Wayback Machine. So anyway, I used the Wayback Machine and I started narrowing it down by looking at various different dates. And I was able to verify that indeed that quote, just as I read it, did appear on the Black Lives Matter webpage, and I narrowed it down that it was removed somewhere in August, between August 22nd and August 24th.
Of this year.
So they did remove it, and it was on a page that they called, I think, What We Believe or something like that, and that whole page had been taken down. Well, what I did is I looked at that quote, and I read it as if now I was going to paraphrase it. Remember paraphrasing from when you were taking a writing course in high school or junior high or whenever you took that, and the teacher said, now you can't just copy word for word. I want you to paraphrase that, which means put it in your own words. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that Black Lives Matter quote that's now been taken down, I paraphrased. And so this is my paraphrase of that quote. If family members are comfortable with community support from the outside the family, Black Lives Matter acknowledges commitment to build a social structure that can provide that support. In other words, sometimes it takes a village. So they took out of context that Black Lives Matter aims to disrupt the nuclear family structure. They took and used just that, many of the sites used just that part of the quote, took it out of context, when if you actually go and read the quote, it amounts to being paraphrased and summed up by it takes a village. Mm-hmm. If the family doesn't have support with the permission of the family, then Black Lives Matter is willing to help to build community support. That's all that quote says. Mm-hmm. And yet it was used to trigger people. And it did trigger this Christian website, and it triggered a whole bunch of other websites where folks got so upset because they were led to believe and triggered to believe, and they didn't look into it further, that Black Lives Matter wants to destroy the nuclear family. And by God, we're not going to let them do it. So that is how I came to my conclusion that that quote was not supported. And I checked a bunch of other websites to see if there was any additional evidence that actually could be used to create a logical argument that Black Lives Matter, given just that quote, that Black Lives Matter, or any other evidence that's out there that is not just the quote, that Black Lives Matter aims to disrupt the family structure, you know, by destroying the family in one way or another.
So I guess I would ask you, what is the relationship between that quote, just to, you know, remind folks that the quote that was removed from the website in August was, "We are committed to disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, and especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable." And then the much more shortened, memetic statement, BLM aims to destroy nuclear families. How do you think those two contrast each other, the relationship between them?
I think that you don't know what that quote was saying and what Black Lives Matter's intent was in posting that on their webpage unless you have the whole context there. You can take any small part out of context. And so I think that truncating that to just, we are committed to disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure, it loses the whole context of the quote. Mm-hmm. So it's you can't understand something without the full context. And this is used oftentimes by people to promote an agenda somewhere. And you can find and take out of context anyone's utterances, anything they say. People could record this show and find ways of making us into Marxists or anything they wanted to by things we say and just taking a short part of what we say. So that's why you have to look at the context. You have to track down the original source, and you have to see the whole thing, and you understand what was being said by having the full context.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems to me that, you know, they're not dissimilar statements. The sort of problem is when you have a very limited statement like BLM aims to destroy the nuclear family, there's a lot of details that need to get filled in that we fill in with our implicit bias for perhaps how we feel about nuclear families or how we feel about BLM.
Sure. And that's what triggering does, is the, if you take it out of context and just use the first part of that statement, then you're going to trigger anybody who feels strongly about the nuclear family and not so strongly about Black Lives Matter, maybe has some skepticism about that movement. You're going to trigger them, and they're going to right on, we got to stop that, you know. And that's what triggering does. And there's so much of that on the internet. I mean, we are being triggered right and left, and that's why, that's the importance of doing this vetting process and taking a much closer look and being aware of your own biases at the same time. Well, we're pushing it here. Time's going quickly, so let's get to the second claim here. The second claim has to do with Black Lives Matter having a radical Marxist agenda. And I trace that back as far as August 2015. And the claim was made by a number of different people, but was really picked up and championed by the Heritage Foundation. And I looked at their post from July 3rd, 2020, which included a highly produced 3-minute video focusing on 30-second clip from Patrice Cullors, which is one of the three Black women who founded Black Lives Matter. And they had Patrice Cullors saying this, quote, "We actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists." So the Heritage Foundation didn't say where they got that from, but they said it was from an interview. So I was able to track that down, and indeed there was an interview in 2015, July 23rd, 2015, and it was an 11-minute interview. Now, they only took a 10-second clip from Patrice Cullors, so I'm suspecting, well, maybe they've taken this out of context. And it's actually on YouTube. The interview was done on Real News Network with Jared Ball, who himself is an African-American interviewer. And he did not only the full interview on YouTube, but he posted the transcript. So I want to play that clip, but I'm going to just play a minute and a half or something up from that clip, but it gives you more context. And here's the clip.
How do you respond to that particular critique? Again, a loving critique from an elder of the struggle that some others share, that I've even shared as well, to be frank, as a concern about, in part because of the co-optation and the appropriation, that a more clear ideological structuring might be of some value here. But how do you respond to those kinds of, again, loving criticisms?
I think that the criticism is helpful. I also think that it might, I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories. And I think that what we really try to do is build a movement that could be utilized by many, many Black folk. We don't necessarily want to be the vanguard of this movement. I think we've tried to put out a political frame that's about centering who we think are the most vulnerable amongst the Black community to really fight for all of our lives. And I do think that we have some clear direction around where we want to take this movement. I don't believe it's going to fizzle out. It just gets stronger and we see it.
Yeah, so that's a very interesting clip.
What's your take on that clip?
I don't know. It doesn't really strike me that somebody I would work with. I don't know. It doesn't really trigger me or anything. I mean, yeah. A trained organizer, you know?
Yeah, and the idea is that clip was taken out of context. Jared Ball was asking Patrice, was pressing her to see if there was any ideological framework theory that was associated with Black Lives Matter, or was it just a reaction to the killing of Trayvon Martin? And she was attempting to say, well, we do have some ideological frameworks that we have been exposed to, including Marxism, but some other frameworks too.
Well, and she also very specifically said, we do not want to be the vanguard of this movement. Right. And that's something that's really misunderstood about BLM, is that they are much more of a movement than a single organization per se.
Okay, so again, something taken out of context here. So my overall appraisal of both these claims is that they're unsound, that they're being used and taken out of context as triggering devices. By the way, being trained as a Marxist doesn't mean you're going to go out and try and overthrow the system. Does it?
No, I mean, it's a pretty important part of it.
There are courses at Yale. There are courses at many, many institutions on Marxism.
Yeah. So
are they also training people to, by supplying these courses of Marxist theory, are they also training people actually to go out and overthrow the American system?
Training, no, but I mean, they're not, that's a weird question. Professors also, I mean, there are professors who are Marxists that want the revolution too. Revolution isn't just something for, you know, Molotov throwing kids on the street, you know, mm-hmm. that there are a lot of intellectuals, you know. I want to ask you, did you look into what Karl Marx said about the nuclear family? Because we have two claims here. Mm-hmm. BLM wants to destroy the nuclear family. And BLM has a Marxist agenda.
I didn't. And the reason being that I don't see any real evidence that the founders, including Patrice, who gave that statement, have a Marxist agenda. I didn't see the evidence for that in the interview with Jared Ball.
But she said.
She said, I'm a trained Marxist. But that doesn't mean, and she said, as well as other ideologies. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't, if she would have said, I'm a trained Marxist and Black Lives Matter is out to change the structure of the American government and the nuclear family, then I would say, hey, there's some evidence that the founders of Black Lives Matter movement were, that was a large part of it. But I didn't see that evidence. I didn't see that evidence in the context that she talked to about in this interview. Now, there may be other evidence out there, but I do want to say that the important thing is that I asked myself the question, what would it take to get me to reappraise either one or both of these claims? You should always ask yourself that. Mm-hmm. It's a great question. If you believe a claim, then another part of this vetting process would be to actually ask yourself that question. What would it actually take now that I've looked into this issue and I've investigated it, I've come to my conclusion, what would it take to actually get you to reappraise?
Because we should always be open to new information and evidence, you know, and to reconsider our ideas. So I think that's good to do it even before that other evidence arrives.
Exactly. And what I wrote here, I said if someone found information that stood up to the vetting process, giving evidence that there has been a consistent pattern of prominent people in Black Lives Matter engaging in activities that are aimed at destroying the nuclear family units or that clearly advocate for replacing America's economic system with a Marxist system. And you have them. You can see them working there. Here's evidence. Here's memos that they're writing back and forth, or here's some actual concrete evidence. Then I would be willing to reevaluate my claim. But as it stands, I would say both of those claims are false.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I still find it interesting that she spoke up and she did self-identify with some Marxist ideology.
When pressed, because she was asked to come up with some ideology. I got to tell people that you are not just a
Marxism came out of her mouth. This is interesting. I feel like you're being kind of defensive of her. But she did. The one ideology that she actually named was Marxism, not any other.
Right.
And so what if I told you Karl Marx did write that, in fact, the nuclear family should be destroyed?
It still wouldn't make the logical link. In my mind, it would be very, very weak evidence. You might be able to construct some sort of logical argument that was very tenuous. We're going from Patrice, who said, one of the ideologies I've been trained in is Marxism, for example. Mm-hmm. And now you're going back to Karl Marx, who said something about destroying the nuclear families. And I don't know that. I'll accept that maybe that's what he said, mm-hmm. if you have knowledge of that. It's pretty weak evidence, in my mind, that Black Lives Matter has a Marxist agenda.
Well, I agree with you there. I mean, it is a very weak link, but there is a relationship between these two claims, which is BLM seeks to destroy the nuclear family. And then we had a more nuanced description of what that looks like. You know, it was a little bit more flowers and glitter than it comes off. And then you have a founder of the Black Lives Matter movement who, when pressed to speak to her ideology, the one that she names is Marxism. And Marxism, in fact, does actually say that there is an inherent relationship with capitalism and the nuclear family, and both need to be destroyed. It's a weak link.
So in other words, if you...
But there is a line there,
don't
you think? If
you had read this Heritage Foundation quote, then you would be immediately believing both claims were accurate about Black Lives Matter. I'm talking about Black Lives Matter, the organization mm-hmm. in itself. In other words, if you took a survey of people in the Black Lives Matter, that they would say, we're here to destroy the nuclear family and create a Marxist society.
It all depends on how you phrase that question, doesn't it? If you said, do you want to see alternative family structures in a way that, you know, isn't dependent on capitalism? Yeah, I bet a lot of people would say yes. Would they know that that was succinct with Marxism? Probably not.
And would they care?
And would they care? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the way we frame things. All right. Well, we're to the point where we're in the studio and this where there's wildlife here.
Yes, there's we're being attacked by wildlife.
There is a cat prowling around.
We have just about 6 minutes and we have our first caller. Hello, caller.
Yes. What is the reason that you think that the Black Lives Matter people want to destroy the nuclear family? Is there any evidence of that? I tuned in a little late. Did any of them say that?
you tuned in a little late, but it proves my point. My point was that I looked into that claim about destroying the family and about having a Marxist agenda. And I found both of those claims that there was no evidence to support either one of those claims.
Well, so, I would say most people that, you know, are into Black Lives Matter don't even know what Marxism is.
Why would you say that, caller?
Because you don't hear much about Marxism. You know, they don't teach it in the average school. You know, it's not a popular philosophy that's exercised, at least in our country. It's kind of vague, you know, it's related to communism, but every country that communism has been, you know, developed, it's in a different style. So you can't even say there's one thing that's totally communist. And one thing that really bothered me is that Trump kept saying that, every time anyone asked him about white supremacy, he would say, but what about the Antifa? That's where the real danger comes from. That's our real national security danger. Those are the terrorists. What about them? And, you know, and then he would go on and say they're anarchists and Marxists. Well, you can't have it both ways, and they are really neither.
Well,
he uses these terms to, like, rev people up. Because nobody really, how many average Americans know anything about anarchy or Marxism?
Well, what if I told you that one of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, when pressed to identify with an ideology, the one that she named was Marxism?
Oh, yes, I heard that. But it was kind of not to the point where it was like the whole foundation of her own personal philosophy and the whole movement. It was, she said that was involved in many different ideologies that she chose from. It was an influence, but it wasn't the whole thing.
And I agree completely with that. We're having a discussion, and I think it's all in the framing. In other words, most of us would agree, including maybe even the Heritage Foundation folks, that it's in everybody's interest to make sure that there is some equality that extends to everybody as far as equal opportunity in this country. I'm willing to bet that most of the people in the Heritage Foundation would say, yeah, that's a value that I have too. So if we say that, okay, that's Marxism, and label that as Marxism because
that's what
or
I'm saying.
Or socialism.
Vague. You can call a lot of things Marxism. What is it really? It's kind of what you want it to be.
there is this guy Karl Marx, and he did write some books.
Yeah, I know.
There is a Marxist philosophy, but there's a lot of things in Marxist philosophy that we would all agree are good things. It's just that seen as destroying the structure of the American economy, or changing the structure of the American economy.
What did he think he was going to replace the nuclear family with?
A wider sense of families. People
an extended
that work,
family?
People that work in villages, because the idea was there wouldn't be private property, that we would all be of the same big family.
Well, that worked out real good, didn't it?
Besides that, other than that, I'm sticking with the spirit in which these claims were used, and not trying to look for the overlap between Marxism and...
Well, even if you have an extended family, you have nuclear families within it. That's how nature works. Mom, dad, babies.
Well, let's define our terms. A nuclear family refers to a mother and a father with children. As soon as the grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or a stepfather or a stepchild or a nephew or a cousin is living in that family, it's no longer a nuclear family. And, it means a certain thing, you know, and outside of BLM and outside of Marxism, there have been a lot of anthropological criticisms of nuclear families.
Yeah. Well, I think it can breed, male domination
demands
the head of the family. And
exactly. And Karl Marx also felt that it was furthered the capitalist system, that you would have a nuclear family was a small group of consumers who would not share in a larger family. I'm really paraphrasing this very poorly, but it is true that Karl Marx was not a fan of the nuclear family.
And we're sort of getting off topic in a way because but I thank you for your call.
Okay.
Because the whole idea here is not to debate Marxism, not to debate the strength of the nuclear family versus a more distributed family, but to learn how to do this vetting process and to vet the information in our polluted information stream. So that's what we're really going for this evening. Again, we're going to post all these links on our Facebook page, Thinking Clearly Radio. And,
that was a very fun conversation.
It was. We'll have a little post-show conversation to continue this, I'm sure. But at any rate, I don't think we have any other callers, so we're going to be back next month with another episode of Thinking Clearly. Now it's time to thank Dara Lee, our engineer.
Thanks, Dara Lee. And Bob.
And our listeners.
Yeah.
And Julia. And until next time,
keep thinking. Clearly.
Think for yourself, people. It's your first and your last chance.